Okay, right now, listeners, I just asked him about, he was talking about how awkward his fingers are typing, and I was just saying,
I wish they were more fluid. I see people who can type without looking and
I know, and
move
I
things
said,
around on their computer.
Sure.
I can't do that.
I know, but you are not, you know, in
coordinated?
General. Yeah. I'm not either. But I was just talking to Sim about how I bet I've never really seen him dance. We've mm-hmm. known each other for a long time, yeah. and I've never really seen him dance. And then he started demonstrating how he dances, which looks like he's kind of awkwardly punching a boxing bag.
Have you ever seen that movie, Can't Buy Me Love? Do you remember the African anteater dance?
No.
Okay. Well, anyone that's seen that movie knows that Patrick Dempsey thought he was learning how to dance, and there was like some African dance routine that he saw on some PBS show, and it was like he was flailing his arms around. And
yeah, it is
around,
a little. You definitely looked yeah. when you demonstrated a little bit. There was a lot of flailing. So your mom, you said your mom gets mad at you.
Well, I mean, at weddings or like, I mean, I can remember my sister's wedding where I was a little drunk and I was having fun and I was dancing and I have my own style of dancing.
I love it that you call it a style.
It's my own. It's my own thing. I'm proud of it.
I just want to see more of this. So okay, so
yeah,
your mom
I don't mind dancing at all.
Have
I love
to
dance.
Do people have to clear a space around you?
A little bit. Sometimes I could hit somebody because my arms do. It's very arm heavy. Like I'll get my arms going a lot. But my mom, every time I dance and my family is around, she gets embarrassed, and then at my sister's wedding, she pulled me off the dance floor and said, "Okay, that's enough. You can't dance anymore."
Can you say that with your mom's, like, say it as your mom?
Simran, no, that's it. Stop. You can't do this anymore, okay? This is embarrassing. You can't do this. This is embarrassing. Stop doing this, okay? Go get another drink. I don't mind you drinking, but just don't dance. Yeah.
Did you listen to her?
No, I wanted to keep dancing. It's my sister's wedding. I was having a blast.
At your wedding, I loved all the dancing. There was like the whole light bulb twist thing.
Yeah, the whole Bollywood Indian dancing.
Yeah.
Sure. The people get into it.
It's really fun because there's only kind of one move. So even I'm a lousy dancer, so even I could sort of get into it and do it.
Right.
And for our listeners who don't know what we're talking about, apparently you raise your arms up sort of above your head and you pretend like you're unscrewing light bulbs.
Yes. And I'll dance that way to, like, you know, popular dance music, American music.
Would you do that at a club?
I think I have, yes. it's true.
I'm pretty sure I have. Everyone, it's Anna Faris. Thanks again for joining us tonight. I'm thrilled to have my dear friend Jamie Presley, who co-stars on Mom on CBS with me. It's been wonderful getting to know her, and we've become really close. And I really hope you enjoy tonight's episode. Before we do that, though, a few listeners have inquired about some of the callers that we've had, which I love because we read everything, and I love it that people want to know what's sort of the updates with certain callers, and it's exciting for us. And so we're going to reach out to a particular caller right now, Thomas, who you may remember from the Aubrey Plaza episode. Thomas was had just relocated to Montreal from Toronto, and he had fallen hard for a girl from Australia who had a boyfriend. And it's been, please, I really want to encourage everyone to keep writing in with people that you found interesting, because it's really fun to sort of revisit. And it's great. I love it that we've, you know, that some people made a connection with you guys. That's awesome. So we're going to give him a call right now and find out what happened. All right. Am I supposed to awkwardly fill in?
No. Maybe I was supposed to do that.
Listen, I don't know my words.
Hello?
Thomas!
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for revisiting this experience.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you for checking up on me.
Well,
I had a nice chat with Sim yesterday.
I'm so glad. Well, yeah, we had a lot of people reach out to us wondering how you were doing. And I was just telling Sim how awesome it is that, you know, certain callers, certain stories sort of affect people in different ways. And we had a lot of people wondering how you were doing and thinking you were a great guy.
Thank you.
We wanted to hear an update.
Well, things haven't really gone in my direction since. I think she came to the conclusion, she realized, you know, what was going on. And, you know, but you guys did give me some sound advice. Like, you were spot on by saying that I fell for the first girl that was giving me the time of day in the new city. Same with spot on saying, like, this wasn't going to work out and all that.
Were we harsh, though?
I don't know if we were harsh, but we really wanted Thomas to kind of see
what's
going on.
We wanted to protect you.
Yeah, we wanted to protect you, too, but it's... And then we actually remember. Do you remember when we actually spoke to her as well?
Yeah, you guys were in the snow, about to go inside.
Right.
I'm indoors this time. So,
so what happened? So you guys were about to go into the pub, and it was snowy. I think you were walking through the snow, and she sounded delightful. But you know, as you know, we were wary of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us. Well, it was Aubrey, Anna, and myself. I mean, I feel like...
And a lot of
our listeners,
apparently.
Well, it ended about a week after that. You know, I think she was getting... like, because she goes back home next week, and I guess with all of that happening, you know, she's kind of getting her life back to normal and realizing what was going on and just couldn't go on anymore, right?
Right.
So, you know, it ended and, you know, of course I'm heartbroken over it. Like I cared for her very much.
I know.
But I also understood how wrong it was. And I don't want to be the reason. I never wanted to be the other guy.
Well, here's the thing too. First of all, I'll just put it out there. I don't trust people who haven't been heartbroken. I think it's an essential part of becoming a full human.
Agreed.
But
well, you need it for growth, 100%.
Yeah. But do you also, you know how it's so easy, especially when you're feeling lonely and vulnerable, to we've had a few callers like this, I think, where you fall for somebody without really kind of knowing who they are, without really examining their personality. And I don't know, I like to think that maybe in the cold light of day that she was maybe not, that you had, you know, sort of fantasized a little bit more of like who she was. You know what I'm saying?
And Thomas, I agree with Anna, but you know, remember at the end of the day, you were not being treated fairly.
That's true.
And I know this is hard, and I know the way this happened to you it's just awful. But believe me, you're going to be so much better off because this happened to you, like Anna said.
And the dude back in Australia too, like he's going to have his own journey with her.
Exactly. Like they're going to be off doing their own thing. But you know what? I think she was probably feeling the same as I was. Like I think she found a closeness with me that she was missing. And like, I don't want it to come down to her being a bad person, because I don't think she is. I just think that we were both vulnerable and lonely, and then one thing led to another. And then, you know, now that her time's coming up to go home, she's just, what have I done now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Granted, everything is shitty and probably shouldn't have happened the way it happened. But I think we're both like guilty of like loneliness, you know what I mean?
Of course. And that makes complete, especially in the winter, you're in a new city. Yeah. It's like, of course. And listen, there's nobody out there that's innocent. And if they are, they shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, no,
But
someone's lying if they say that.
Yeah, totally. But I just hope you're doing okay, and I hope that and I'm, you know, I'm sure you know, you'll miss her. I hope that as you go forth in sort of more dating journeys that you don't compare too much of your experience with her with your new journeys or, you know, new women. Because that's easy to do, too, when you romanticize somebody.
Yeah.
Especially as, like, upon reflection. You know how memory sharpens itself to either a really positive thing or a really negative thing? And so just don't forget. Like, I think maybe I've talked about this before. Like, when I completely romanticized my high school boyfriend and was just devastated when he broke up with me. Like, I would, I think at one point, like, I was just like sobbing in the middle of the night on campus in the pouring rain. Like, why me? But then I read through some of my old diaries and I was like, it was such a relief because I complained a lot about him. And it was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Like,
yeah.
Well, you can laugh about it now. And I feel like Thomas is going to laugh about it when he meets the right person.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
I hope so.
It's well, at the very least, it's a pretty good story. Like,
oh, yeah. It's a great story.
I call the podcast.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I got some fun experiences out of it. I'm not gonna, you know, dwell on like losing her is awful for me. But to be honest, like, I have a lot of good memories. It was, you know, it's a good way to start my new life here in Edmonton. And, you know, I'm not gonna be afraid. You know, I'm not gonna let a bad experience, you know, stop me from going, moving on, and all that. Like, I've dwelled on a past girlfriend before, and it, like, stopped me from dating for a few years. And, you know, I'm not going to let that happen to me again.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas, I'm on one hand, like, I'm glad that if it were bound to happen, you know, if she was going to go back to Australia and still be with this dude or whatever, and it would have been a long drawn out process of, like, you know, weird texts where she's occasionally like, I miss you too. How are you doing? Or whatever. And still giving you, like, I don't know, a little bit of thread of hope. That would be painful too. And then you wouldn't be able to date, 'cause you'd be like kind of waiting for something that may not happen. And, so
exactly.
I'm glad. Yes. I think
the Band-Aid has been pulled off. You're starting fresh and you're good. You've got the right mindset. So you're a good guy. You're a really good guy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You guys are great, too. Like, you know, checking up on me is, you know, very sweet of the both of you. I really appreciate it. And, it's been, I got a little bit of some myself to work on, and hopefully, you know, I'll meet someone new in the future. I mean, Edmonton's a big place, so.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And I don't think so. I think you sound pretty perfect. Oh, you know what? I said that you,
Montreal.
I said it wrong. I said that you moved from Edmonton to Montreal, but it's reverse.
It's the reverse, yeah.
Okay. Well, you're going to – I think the future's bright, and I feel like we have a lot of listeners that want to date you already, so.
You guys found my Facebook feed. Just send them around already.
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, Thomas, you're a friend of the show now, so please stay in touch.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, no, I plan to. You guys are great. I'm still a big fan. I listen to your show every week. It's so good.
Thanks. Well, we're having a great time, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us again.
Oh, thanks for calling. Thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
All right, please keep in touch.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Bye, Thomas.
Bye, guys.
All right, and now we will begin our evening with the marvelous Jamie Presley. When I was in college, and I really did not date a lot. I was very much a serial monogamist.
I used to say I was a monogamy whore.
Yeah.
Right.
I tried to make a bad thing work.
Yep.
But I also felt like oh my God, where am I going with this? Happiness.
College dating.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. I know what it was. Rich people. because I didn't grow up wealthy. I and some people are different, but I was kind of repelled. Like, I went out with two guys who had a little bit of money twice. I went out with them on two different dates or whatever. And I hated it. Mm-hmm. The idea, and it wasn't their fault. And to a lot of people, it would have been really attractive to have mm-hmm. been taken out to a nice restaurant in Seattle and taken around or whatever. But I felt like I was so proud that I couldn't, it never sat easy with me. And so,
that they had the money?
Yes. Or just the idea that they thought, and maybe it was
that
wasn't,
you were the arm candy and they were the big shot?
Well, I certainly was not any arm candy. Okay.
Come on. Of course.
Listen. But I just couldn't, I was much more comfortable with a poor guy.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
maybe it was a fix.
Well,
fixing nothing.
I think what it is that when you're a strong woman, even in your most vulnerable times, your strength will come out. For me, it's funny that you say you dated two guys. I dated in my life two guys that had a lot of money. Like, I mean, ridiculous amounts of money. And I did it not just because I liked them, but also because I thought, I'm going to try this new thing where I date a guy who has got a job, right? And
try this new thing.
Yeah. And the first one was extremely intelligent, but very, very immature. His intelligence is why he made so much money, because he created something online that was innovative. And made hundreds of millions of dollars. So I asked him at one point to, I was always having to fly to where he lived. And it just, I was like, I work too. My job's important too. Why am I flying to you? So I made this big deal and I was like, you know, you could fly. I have a house too, you know, you could fly here. So he came and fly. The very first time he came, I said, hey, would you mind changing that light bulb? And he goes, oh, just tell Blanca to do it and I'll give her an extra $10. Blanca is my housekeeper of 15 years who's like a mother to me and family, and I wanted to stab him in the face.
Oh, my God, that is so weird.
I wanted to stab him in the face. I'm like, wait, you can't change a light bulb?
And
you're spoiled.
The
other one had someone literally who was in charge of making sure he had his wipes in his bathroom on tour. Okay, so here's the thing.
You heard me. He had no other responsibilities.
It was like all he had to do was make sure his wipes were in the bathroom, and that his tissue for his nose was by his vanity set. Vanity being keyword in this whole story. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, and it didn't matter. Like, I'm just not an arm candy person. I'm not meant to be the girl that only speaks when spoken to.
But Jamie, can I give you a compliment?
Huh?
You sure as hell look like an arm candy person.
You do too, lady.
You are a hot, hot woman.
Hey, when we all have our hair, makeup, and perfect lighting following us around, we're amazing.
No. You are genuinely fucking smoking.
Oh, you know what, lady? You're not half bad yourself. I appreciate it. We'll have sex after.
Oh, please.
Okay. But no, I do think that there's something to be said about the fact that when you go with someone, when you're in this business, or when you're any woman, not even in this business, when you're a woman who has a high-powered job and you're someone who has a lot of people that work, you know, for you, or you're the one that everybody's, you know, livelihood relies on, right? You have – it's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. It can turn into a pressure cooker. And sometimes you just want a sense of normalcy, and you want to be normal at the end of the day. You want to go just – have normal conversation and have a beer and go out with normal people. When you lose your anonymity, like we do in our business, if you're lucky enough, which is funny because it's like I say, when you lose your anonymity, if you're lucky enough, it's funny because that whole lucky thing works for and against you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you lose your anonymity, it's because you did something really great that everybody loves and you had something successful, whether it's a TV show or a film or numerous, right? Where you hit it big. But, you know, so that's great. But then at the same time, the loss of anonymity can restrict you in so many ways, and it can kind of make you crawl into, like I said before with you guys, the fetal position under the bed where you want to hide. And then all of a sudden, now that we have smartphones, which when you and I started out in the business, there was no even internet. Mm-mm. So it's really hard for people who didn't come from the tech generation to kind of navigate nowadays if you have lost your anonymity, because there's smartphones everywhere that are like walking around in everybody's hand, even 10-year-old's hands. That have cameras and internet and all kinds of social media apps. So you can be up online in seconds, and somebody, a 10-year-old, could create a story about you in seconds that makes you look like a monster. So you're always walking around looking over your shoulder. And I say this all the time, you know, when you make decisions based out of fear, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a bad decision. You know, if you're constantly looking
That's
over
really
your shoulder,
wise. Yeah.
When you're looking over your shoulder constantly because you're like afraid, you're going to trip because you're not looking forward.
And there's nothing wrong with the idea of being like, I'm human and this is, and I'm flawed.
I have to repeat it to myself every day. I'm human and I'm allowed to make a mistake. Yeah. I'm human and I'm allowed to make a mistake.
And, you know, we're in the position of our mistakes, you know.
We don't get to live them down. They are forever now online.
True. But you know what? They're not that bad. You know what I mean?
Like, they're no different than anybody else's mistakes. It's just that ours are heightened because everybody wants to see, you know, it's that whole thing where they say they build you up and put you on a pedestal, and the higher the pedestal, the harder the fall.
And then everyone wants to come back. They want to see you.
Everybody. Yeah. They build you up and then they want to see you fall so they can build you back. Everybody loves a comeback story.
Robert Downey Jr. is a perfect example of that.
Perfect example. And by the way, might I say, what an incredible human being he is. Generous and honest. Mm-hmm. And I think it, you know, the best thing that we can do in our situation or in anybody who is in a high powered position, and you don't have to be in the business to be in a high powered position, but you're going to be looked at, you're going to be, you know, people are going to wait for you to mess up. They're like waiting with their smartphone, you know, to catch it. If you follow anybody around 24/7 on a camera, with a camera, you're going to see them mess up because you know what? They're human and humans aren't perfect. And, you know, I talk to mom, like when I talk to new moms, my first thing I say is I need you to get, or moms that are to be for the first time that are pregnant. I always say the first thing you need to do when they say, do you have any advice? Yeah. Get the word perfect out of your head, because there's no such thing. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes just like you always have. It's just going to be a little different now.
And you also have to embrace the idea that you're going to feel guilty all the time.
Mom guilt's the worst thing. It doesn't go away. I always thought it would get better. It doesn't. Because no matter how much I do for my son, and no matter how much I'm there for him, and I'm there for him all the
time.
You're
an amazing mom.
Oh, thanks, lady. But I can't say that I've always been, you know, as attentive. When he was first born, I was working on My Name Is Earl.
Well, they're fucking boring.
Yeah, they're boring. When they just sleep all day, what? I can't entertain you. You don't want to, like, you know, go play tennis. You're like a year old. What am I going to do with you? No, but when he, when Desi was, my son was first born, I was still working on My Name Is Earl. And that was a single camera show, which means I had 15 to 18 hours of work a day.
Of course.
So you have this like strange battle where you have to figure out, okay, now I have to not only navigate my, you know, through life and being famous and going to work and just dealing with the day to day on my own, I also have to deal with another human being who's actually way more important than me, who's going to come first no matter what. And I got to figure out how to do that.
Especially in an industry that demands so much. I mean, we're so fortunate and to be able to, we're one of the, like, the 0.00003% of people in the world who actually get to do a job they love.
True.
It's so rare. But it also demands sacrifice in every way, because you can't, the opportunities for a job are few and far between. You have to work really hard. So you can't plan a vacation. You can't think about like,
oh no, everything. I always say it's that whole thing where want to make God laugh, make a plan.
Well, I love, being the only good thing about getting older is that I feel less and less, competitive with other women.
Agreed.
Or insecure or jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that I don't feel those things sometimes, but I definitely, like, I look back at my 20s.
Ugh.
And how...
God, people say, would you ever go back to your 20s? What would you do? And I'm like, I don't even want to think about what I would do. I just want to leave it what it was and let it go. And just, I've compartmentalized it all. It's fine.
I gotta tell you, my ass was tighter.
Yeah, well.
But,
we all had more collagen in our face, naturally. I mean, you know, there was a lot of things that were different, but I wouldn't change. Here's what I say. I love getting older because it means I'm still alive.
Well, yeah. And I love getting older because I have better women in my life.
Like, so do
because
I.
Because I can accept them.
But it's also we're making better choices with the people that we want to be surrounded by, that we allow to be in our lives. Every woman allows, you know, every man too, we all allow.
Yeah. Speaking of men, though, Sim, when you were in your fraternity, like, I mean, it's all different for men, but like, in your 20s, because guys have their friendships are stronger than women.
Because they don't look at detail like women do. Men see things as an overall picture. Women see things in detail. So we're constantly picking apart situations and people.
Yeah.
And ourselves.
Or it is like.
And men
like,
don't. They just go, hey, you're my buddy.
You're
let's
my
talk.
Buddy. Let's hang or out. Like, let's grab a beer. If we have a disagreement, we talk about it for a second. We forget about it. We have another beer.
It's like one sentence and it's over.
And as much as I don't like the concept, it's totally beneficial, like the whole like sort of bro before ho thing, like,
well, and letting things go,
right. Letting things go. But dude, like, I mean, I'm sure that you had people you were competitive with in college.
Oh,
and stuff.
Absolutely. I think I still do. Sure. I mean, that's natural, of course. But it's
I think men compete. They still compete.
But yeah, but I think it's different.
Totally.
Like,
it's not all about aesthetics so much as it is just about,
like, if there was a dude I liked, I would have. Like in my early 20s, I would have dropped all the girls in my life.
Know what I say?
And I did, I guess.
When it comes to relationships, that's very true and a great point. I used to say this all the time. The difference between men and women when it comes to relationships, a woman could be so tired, worked 10 days in a row, and exhausted with no sleep. But her guy says, you want to come over? And will put super glue on her eyelids to stay awake.
Yeah.
And she will go over there like crazy eyed, like, hey, can I make you dinner? What do you need? Blowjob? What do you want? Because that's what women do. Men will be like, if the woman calls and goes, hey, I've got off work. I've got a free night tonight. You want to come over? The guy will go, I'm really fucking tired. I'm going to play Madden, but I'll see you tomorrow.
I was just going to say play video games. Yeah.
I'm going to play some football Madden.
Or like, you know what? Maybe I'll be over in a few hours. And then never show up because Ryan came over.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this is for our male listeners then. So if a guy asks a girl, okay, do you want to come over right now? Do you feel like coming over?
And you're tired.
And or if the woman says, you know what? I'm really exhausted today. I don't feel like coming over. Does that usually mean she's not interested? If she's not going to take the extra mile, go the extra mile?
I think it depends
on
where
she is in life. Because with a man, it doesn't mean he's not interested in you. It just means that he really is just tired.
No, I'm talking about the woman. Is the woman interested? Yeah.
Right. And so I'm saying the dichotomy between
right.
the two
yeah.
is when a man says, no, I'm not going to come over because I'm going to play Madden and I just want to mm-hmm. chill at night. It doesn't mean he's not interested in the woman. It just means he's just going to play Madden. He's not thinking about
exactly.
the other stuff.
Sure.
A woman, if she says, and this is my opinion, of course, but and I'm sure everybody's got a different one. But I think women will agree if a woman says, no, I'm just going to stay home. I'm not.
She won't answer the phone.
Yeah. It's because she's not into you.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we have so many listener questions.
Oh, yes.
About,
okay, but yes.
Talk about text messages, for example.
Oh, like, my God, which can be misconstrued
right.
all the time.
But,
your perception of what someone texts you mm-hmm. or what you text them is like, how many times have you struggled over the message you're going to send? You're like, it could be read this way, this way, this way, this way. That's a woman. So they're like, it takes 30 minutes to send one sentence. A man will just send it and not care. And the woman sits there and reads it 10 different ways.
Sure. And he'll be like, but I texted you yesterday.
But I texted you. What do you mean?
Oh, wait, Jamie. Yeah. Because, all right, I could talk to you for hours. I want Sim to do a series of rapid fire questions.
All right. First question. Are you ready, Jamie?
Ready.
If you could live anywhere in the world besides L.A., where would it be?
I'd go home. I'd go back to North Carolina, and I'd live in Morehead City on the beach.
Your favorite cuisine?
Italian food.
Your favorite sport to watch?
Basketball. I'm from North Carolina.
Your childhood nickname?
Chicken. Still is.
The last spontaneous thing you've done?
This podcast?
Long pause. Last spontaneous thing I've done.
That's a tough one for a mom.
It's a tough one for a mom because things stop being spontaneous. This is so boring, but just the other day, because Desi is my son is still on break. They go back on Monday to school, thank God. But just randomly, Humsy came home from work and he was going to work out and I was going to work out. And I was like, that sounds terrible. Would you like to go to sushi? And normally we both have these things that every day we have a routine. And it was like, yeah, let's go. And we just went. And it's so stupid and so small, but mm-hmm. it was great. Like, we just said go and we went. And that's, as a parent, very rare.
Totally.
That was a boring thing. But
No. But I can complete. And you know what? Parents out there can totally relate to that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of spontaneity.
What shows are stored on your DVR right now?
How to Get Away with Murder, Blacklist, Blackish. I Still Love Me Some Mariska Hargitay, Law and Order, Nashville, to keep my Southern roots in me. I have lots of them.
That's good. That's a great answer. Favorite 80s one-hit wonder song?
Oh, that's a good one.
Jamie is a huge music buff.
I am, because I grew up as a dancer. My mom's a dance teacher, so I was listening to, like, fucking Spyro Gyro when I was three. Nobody knows who that is. 80s one-hit wonder? I don't know if I have a one-hit. Ooh! Oh, wait, this might be 90s. I Want to Sex You Up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Color Me Bad.
Color
Me Bad. That's 90s, but that we'll take it. We'll take it.
Let's take that.
Last question. Your dumbest purchase.
Oh, there's a fucking list. dumbest purchase. God. That's a tough one.
We can skip it if you want.
I know, because I feel like as women,
we have a lot of dumb purchases.
Yes.
I can't really put my finger on that one.
Okay.
Like, I tend to purchase a lot of clothes that I don't have the guts to wear.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one. Like, I bought not that long ago, I bought a pair of shoes that you couldn't pay me enough money to wear.
Like, I know.
They don't look like me. They're not my style, but they're gorgeous. And a lucky friend will, you know, I'm sure wear them one day. But it's not something that matches anything I own.
Sounds good. Are you ready to talk to some people?
Let's do it.
Let's get to some callers.
London.
Ah.
It's late there. Quite late.
It's late. I know.
Hello.
Brianne?
Yes.
Hi, it's Sim, and you're on Anna Faris is Unqualified with Jamie Presley and Anna Faris. How are you?
Hi, Brianne.
Hello, lady.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you? Thank you for letting us call you so late.
It's not that bad, actually. Or it's actually 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
So you're like us. 2 a.m. is the 9 p.m. to most people.
You know what? 2 a.m. is not bad when you're stuck on one level on Candy Crush and binge-watching Homeland. So you're good.
Word, lady.
I love it. You're doing you're multitasking.
That's a woman for you.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Bonnie. Absolutely.
Wait, Bonnie. No, your name is Brianne. Brianne, you're 33, yes. And you feel like your age is terrifying the guys that you date. So tell us what you mean by that.
Okay, yeah. So 33, and I recently relocated after being in a long relationship. I left that so that I could move, and I thought, you know, living in a new city, being single again, it would be really fun. And then it turned out that, yeah, my age seems to really terrify men. So I've been going out with these guys, and I look a little bit younger, so I think they don't really quite expect it. But when they ask my age and I say 33, they get kind of deer in the headlights look.
How old are these men that you're dating?
Yeah, they're my age. That's the worst part. They're in their 30s.
Oh, so are you sure it's them that's terrified, or is it you that's terrified to tell them your age?
No, I don't mind telling them my age at all. It's just when I tell them my age, they react terrified by how old I am.
But you know what? That's probably because, like you said, you look younger than your age. So they're right. Like, holy shit, she's 33? I thought she was 23. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that unless they do you feel like the relationships don't follow through because of that moment?
Okay, let me give you an example. I went out with a guy who does risk management, and I am not making this up because it is too horrible to even make up. He works in risk management, and he told me that he would not go out with somebody my age. Normally wouldn't go out with somebody my age because women after 30 want to have a baby, and he doesn't want to do that. And he literally said that my age was a risk.
A risk?
What kind of risk?
Risk is in he didn't want to have a relationship with somebody my age because he would expect for me to suddenly go like, okay, let's now get married and have a baby in the next year.
Has he met a woman of today? Because we don't fucking want to get married. And if I want a baby, I'll have one. You're good.
No, it sounds like, well, first of all, you know, as actresses, and I'm sure that Jamie will have my back on this. There's a temptation, although now you can't at all lie, but there was a temptation and tradition of women lying about their age. So you're sort of ingrained with the idea of shame being associated with your age.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really liberating, me being like, yep, I'm 39. I know I don't behave like it, but I am.
I love saying I'm 38. I fucking love saying I'm older. I wouldn't go back to my 20s if you paid me.
But I think, it's an unfortunate thing that we, as women in all over the world, have to sort of deal with the idea that that a lot of men want, you know, that young 20s. Whatever.
Yeah, but then when they get that shit gets old real quick, and they want to go to where they're comfortable with someone who understands them and can have a conversation.
And this dude's an idiot to think that if he was dating a 22-year-old that she wouldn't necessarily want to have a baby. You know what? In fact, if anything, she's the one who's going to be like, I need a ring on it so she can get some financial security or whatever.
Exactly. That's the worst thing, is the fact that actually when it comes down to it, I'm the most like terrified of commitment of people that you could probably meet. I mean, I've been in long-term relationships, and every time it gets too intense, I bail. And it's not just...
Yeah, women have taken over the role of men in that situation.
So wait, now how are you normally meeting men?
Yeah, it's usually through kind of work industry things, or maybe at a party. There have been shamefully a few Tinder dates, but
no,
there's nothing shameful about
that. No, you are. You've
seen how many millions are on it. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, no, there's where you're surrounded in, especially, you know, I mean, everyone now, there's no shame in that at all. But it's just shameful that, and maybe Sim has some good advice on this too, because Sim has had his share of dating socially online. But,
I have.
But so I think that there's like a, I think a lot of times too, though, dudes just want to have a one night stand, right?
Especially Sam? On Tinder, yes. But you know what? The quality men are not going to be concerned about your age, and you need to remember that. So if a guy ever brings that up again, you know what? Just tell them to go fuck off, and then you know what? You'll meet somebody else. You'll meet a great guy. Just keep at it.
No, I think there's a craftier way to play it.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I think there is probably a craftier way to play it. I mean.
What do you
think?
Wait. What do you think? There's a craftier way to play it too. What are your thoughts on that? What do you actually think? Because usually our gut feeling's right, but we typically don't go with it because we're afraid to. So what do you think?
That's why I wanted unqualified advice.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you some unqualified advice then.
I know there's a craftier way to play it. What is it?
I think in general, confidence is really sexy, whether you're a man or a woman. I think we all think that. And I think that when you say, if they say, how old are you? And you say 33, there might be a chance that you're subconsciously not even, you don't even realize it. But when you say 33, you're saying 33 with a grimace, as if 33.
No, I'm totally cool with it. To be honest with you, the weirdest thing is just the reaction that I get after I say it. And honestly, I think 33 is quite young. I don't have a problem with
it. Like,
it is.
It's like 23 nowadays.
And you know what? And it shouldn't even matter. I mean, like...
No,
like,
age doesn't matter. Experience
and, you know,
and life does.
Absolutely. Guess what? We can't fight against this. This
but
is
here,
just happening.
And the older you get,
the train
we're like...
left the station.
Women are like men now. It's not just men that age like fine wine. Women do too. So here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, you need to start dating older men.
No.
How much older,
no,
Jamie?
No, no,
Jamie,
no.
How much older?
Oh, I just mean even if it's like 2-3 years older.
No.
Because if you're dating somebody who's exactly your age, if you're only looking at men your age, it may not work. Because I'll be honest with you,
no,
that same thing that they've always...
But I remember the guy who was 36, and he had the same problem, and he's only 3 years, he's 3 years older
right,
than me.
Right, but here's the deal. I don't know that age is necessarily always the problem here. There could be other reasons, but the bottom line, and it not necessarily your fault, but maybe their own reasons, and their own insecurities, it's not really... Remember, they've always said, like, what is it? Women are 7 years older.
You're talking about the
maturity wise,
right? Yeah, I mean,
is that dog years?
Way more
it's like dog
men.
Years, or is it 4 years? There's like we're so much older. So like if I'm 33 and he's 33, I'm about 6 years ahead of him maturity wise. That's
so
but that's the truth.
I have to go way into 40s?
No, you don't. But just FYI, 40 ain't that old.
No, I know it's not. I know it's not. But I thought, you know, like there could be a decent age range from anywhere from like 27 until like maybe 42 would be sort of the sophistication age range.
Yeah, and you're right. 27, not so much when it comes to a man and you being 33, because you're going to have way more life experience and understanding of not only life, but but of relationships and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Women see things in detail. Men see things as an overall picture. So you're going to look at things and yourself, you're going to understand things a little bit better than a guy your age might.
But I would say though, if this is something that you're feeling, I would resist the temptation to reassure a man that you're not even that into. You know what I mean? By saying something like, I don't even know if I want kids. I don't know if I, you know what I mean? Like, don't you, like,
most
right.
women are having kids at 40 now, 33 should
be
a
problem.
But I would
keep that information private until you really like somebody. And then you can, because I just wouldn't want you to fall, because, and I say this because this is something that I would do. I would be out on a date or something like that, and I, if I were in your position, and somebody to say, you know, if they looked at me with like, you know, a little bit of like, what, you're 33, I would, because I'm a needy person, I would say something like, but you know, I there's a lot of things I want to do in life. I want to travel the world. I want to have different careers. I'm not even sure if I want to ever settle down, even though I'm not like that at all. I mean, I don't know if you sound like you might not be, but I totally, you know, I love being married and I love committed relationships and I wanted to have a child. I didn't want to do it until it was right. But, what a turnoff for that guy. I mean, I feel like you should restructure it in your brain. Like that guy, like, gave you a big turnoff as opposed to you being the turnoff to
him.
That's
a great way to look at it. And I totally agree with Anna. I think we have to change our mindset sometimes, because sometimes we're a little too focused on the wrong area. And maybe you're a little too focused on your age more than they are.
But
and I think what she just said makes a lot of sense. They weren't right. Move on. Keep it moving.
I would consider dating guys that maybe you might think on paper are losers.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Because the guys that are good on paper typically are not the ones we should be with.
Those are those fucking dicks that say like, oh,
I was married to one for a whole year. and it looked amazing on paper. And then when it actually was real life, it was the worst thing that I've ever done and the worst decision I've ever made.
And paper
is not good in real life.
When I met my most amazing husband, Chris, he was a successful actor, but he also lived in like kind of, you know, I hope he wouldn't be too insulted if I said this, but he lived in a total like broed out apartment.
Where that's there was normal like, for a single day.
There was like dart board. There was like darts in the wall, and
it was
there
like
was
a bachelor
a mattress. No, not even a bachelor pad. Not like black leather or anything. There was like a mattress on the floor with sheets that probably hadn't been changed for a long time.
It was humsy.
And a bathroom that for sure had not been cleaned for a long time.
Where they don't wash the towels they use. They're still wet from the shower before, so they just put it in the dryer, dry it, and then use it again. That kind of shit.
And I had a successful career, and he did too, but I was at the time, you know, I had a little. Well,
you were bigger than him at the time, I can say it.
Yeah. and I'm a couple years older than he is, but I saw some qualities in him that if I wasn't that earlier, I wouldn't have picked up on like earlier in my life, which was, you know, he was incredibly talented, but besides that, he was also really kind, really popular. I had never dated somebody that people just really wanted to be around.
Yeah. Like guys have man crushes on him.
Yeah. And he had like, you know, a bunch of friends that were like not necessarily successful at all, but
just like normal
people. Dudes. And I really loved, and he was unbelievably considerate towards me.
Which is something you and I both were not used to until the relationships we're in now.
That's right.
And so it's kind of hard to take. And maybe your mindset should be changed in general to where you know in your heart, you deserve better. You deserve somebody who's kind. You deserve somebody who loves you for you, who doesn't look at an age. You deserve somebody who wants to be around you and somebody that makes you laugh. Laughing is very important. It's not always aesthetics. If he makes you laugh, that's going to last forever, but our looks won't.
That's true. And he could be a waiter or whatever the job that this person has in your future. As long as they are passionate about whatever they do, as long as they're kind, and as long as they are... I just think that now, especially with online dating, there's so much pressure put on the like whatever job this person, whatever said person...
Occupation, mm-hmm.
So a lot of really great people could be overlooked, and there's...
There's nothing wrong with dating the poorest guy in the room, because 9 times out of 10, he's going to be the most charismatic, loving, kind, generous.
And as long as they don't like as long as there's an aspiration or a passion about something.
As long as he has a goal.
Like,
and the goal isn't to live off of you.
But if it's like, you know, somebody who loves to write or like perform or you know, or whatever it is, as long as they have a optimistic personality, whether or not they achieve the end goal, I think that so when you're doing online dating, don't overlook people that on your gut level seem just decent and really good, you know, as opposed to the flash of a fucking risk management dick bag. Do you still have his number? We're going to call him.
I mean, I'm certainly not eliminating people from my life because I think that they're not good enough or they don't earn enough money or anything like that. But also when it comes to online dating, the question has always been, I think, for many people, like, do you look for somebody who you think is on your level? I mean, it's...
Maybe don't look for somebody that's equal to you, because at the end of the day, what makes a really healthy relationship is a relationship where you're in it and there's two teachers and two students. If you're the teacher every time and they're always the student, you're going to eventually get sick of them because you're going to be all taught out and learn nothing and be completely understimulated. If there's two students and there's two teachers, then that means you're both going to learn from each other and you're both going to be able to give and take. And that's what makes it healthy.
I think Jamie's a really wise woman, but I will say she's wrong. She's right and she's wrong about two things here. She's wrong about the older guys, but she's right about the
My guy's a year younger than me, so I'm not saying. Just suggesting if it's an age thing, maybe
because
older.
I think that when, like, you, there tends to be an older man obsession with age.
When I say older, I was talking 2-3 years. I didn't mean 20.
But you know what I mean? No, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
sometimes
no,
it gets, but Jamie is totally right about the sense of humor and somebody who is posting a lot of vain pictures of themselves on their profiles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a no go.
Gross.
So I say look for humor and stay confident. And guess what? You know, what did Betty Davis say that growing old is not for the faint of heart?
That's exactly what she said,
and
other incredible things.
Like, the sad truth is, Brianne, we are, you know, it's the, unfortunately, the time thing is, keeps happening.
Brianne, do you feel like Anna and Jamie helped
you
out?
Gave you unqualified advice?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I mean, it was really unqualified.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for staying up and waiting for our call.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
I think the important idea, though, to take away is look outside the box in terms of dating.
Yeah. Don't pigeonhole yourself.
And don't look for flash, and don't listen too much about what your girlfriends say. That's also an important thing.
No. And here's why. She's very true. Yeah. When you get a little bit older, you can listen to your girlfriends because they'll be as experienced as you are in making mistakes. When you're a little bit younger, you're still in the middle of making mistakes. And here's the thing. Uh-huh. Dating, you want to date. Like, I remember somebody saying, you dated so many different people, like Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, because I didn't get married straight out of fucking college and end up having to stay with somebody I didn't know and don't like. Yeah.
Right.
I'm fine with that. Dating, remember, dating is all about figuring out what you like and don't like, what you do and don't want to put up with, what you can and cannot take, and what you will and will not take. So date until you figure out all those things. And then each person you date, you're going to take something from them that you like and then realize things you don't like. And as you go along in your dating process with these different people or whatever, you're going to realize who you need. And who you want.
And you've got a good gut. And I just don't want, like, one of your lovely girlfriends to say to you, oh, my God, why do you like that dude? He's, like, a little heavy.
And it's like, and, you know what? It's like that, she might not like that, like, but you might.
Of the best people, I think, are diamonds in the rough. You know?
Preaching to the choir.
So you don't need like somebody who presents themselves as a diamond, but really they're just a fucking cubic.
Look, last thing I'll say, in the South where I'm from, in the South we say presentation is everything. That means everybody shows up looking like they're straight out of a J. Crew magazine. Everybody's all, you know, perfectly done and the families look great and everyone looks happy. Presentation is everything. We all present ourselves as everything's great.
Right.
And then behind closed doors, everybody's just fucked up as the next one. So instead of looking for how people present themselves right off the bat and what they mm-hmm. dress like and how they smell and if they said the right things, and you yourself, be yourself instead of presenting and yourself in another light that later and is going to kind of
also
fade away.
Too, though, there's also another issue here, too, that, like, for the instance that you gave us, that guy in his – the issue for him probably was so much less about your age, although he probably couldn't recognize this, but much more about him, for whatever reason, needing to make you feel small. And
that's a lot of the time.
And bad. And so those are the people that – in general, friends, relationships, family members, anybody whose agenda is to make you feel, because even if he was
bottom
thinking
line,
that
anybody who
a
has
normal
an agenda
person wouldn't say that out loud.
Kick him
even
out.
Even if that's what his fear was, he would. A normal person would never say that out loud.
Okay, I said I was not going to say anything, but that's never true. So here's the thing. Chris Rock has an old stand-up in his comedy act where he talks about when you start dating someone, you're not dating them. You're dating the representation of who they think they need to be in order to get you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So all of us, in a sense, when we're meeting somebody for the first time and we start dating them, we're putting our best foot forward and kind of being a better version of ourselves, or like a...
I pretended to know what football was.
Right. Right. I'm come from North Carolina where basketball is a religion. I don't know fucking football. Humsey loves football. He granted loves basketball too, but I didn't know football either and I pretended I loved it. I don't still, but I watch it.
I would listen to
more
Chris
about it now.
Play guitar.
Yeah. Hey.
And I told him I loved it and I do.
Yes.
I do.
But there's things
you know,
that you do. And
I told him I loved elk meat that he
right.
shot.
Yeah. Look, there's lots of things we do. Hey, bottom line is, like I said, presentation's everything. And when we're putting our best foot forward and trying to present ourselves, what Chris Rock was saying is we present ourselves, it's like the representative of who we think we need to be to get somebody. And then 6 months into the relationship, all that shit goes away and the real colors start showing and you start seeing who that person really is, because now they're comfortable and they're like, oh, fuck it, that's too much work. I'm just going to be myself. And so about 6 to 8 months into the relationship, you start seeing who that person really is. And at our age, I feel like in your 20s, you can do that. You have the time. Now, it's like, look, tell me who you really are. Don't waste my time. Because if we work, we work. If we don't, we don't. And for you,
right.
you're not old enough. You're not as old. I mean, we're not old either. We're
cool.
still young. But you're 33. You're really young. So you don't have time. If somebody's going to be who they are and tell you like it is and be themselves, and you can tell when somebody's being a representative of themselves and when they're being who they really are. You can also mm-hmm. tell when you're doing that. So you got to check yourself sometimes too and go, am I being the really true, my true self, or am I being who I think I need to be to get them to like me?
Yeah. In the dating world, women tend to fall into the position of salesperson
mm-hmm.
and men tend to fall into the position of, you know, what are you going to, like, I'll pay for this dinner, but you are, you know, is it going to be worth it to me? You know what I mean? And
I think nowadays, because women are a lot stronger though, men are having to go mm-hmm. into the sales place too.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Well,
absolutely.
Sim,
you gotta sell
but that's
yourself
because,
too.
But Sim agrees with that because he's a really good guy.
Aw.
So that's why.
Let's don't put all guys into a bad category though.
No.
I do, and not that you were, but I just, for the men listening, I want you to know we're not, we're not trying to male bash here. I'm just saying that, like, I think everybody at certain times are put into the sales position, because when you really like somebody, you try to sell yourself because you want them.
So, yeah, but didn't you ever find yourself...
like, get somebody that wants to sell themselves to you.
Even when I didn't like somebody, I still craved... I wanted them to fall in love with me.
But that's because women don't like being alone, and we want to be with somebody, so we're constantly trying to sell ourselves so we're not alone.
But even else, even like on like a nothing date, even at like a party, if I was talking to a guy or something, I would find myself... Even if he was atrocious, I would still find myself attempting to...
get like, the attention.
Or like when, like have him walk away from the encounter feeling like, man, that girl's fucking cool.
But that's and, our and own
I'm
issues.
And I'm like, why
that?
Do I need that person to think that?
Because at the time, you weren't in a place of self-love. You were in a place of self-wonder. You were still figuring yourself out. And I think we've all been there.
I still might be in that place.
I don't.
I mean, I'm married with a child happily, and I still want everyone to love me.
But that's not uncommon. There's nothing wrong with that. And let's be real, we're both actresses. Everybody in this fucking business wants somebody to love them.
That's true.
That's not new.
What
You're not alone.
What do we do to ourselves?
I don't know. We sold ourselves to the devil.
So listen, trust your gut and find a funny man. Find a diamond in the rough.
And remember
so
that
should,
you're better than you think
my,
you are.
Ex-boyfriend who's a comedian.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, no. Not saying that. Sorry. Whoa. No, no, no. No. I love comedians. They are tricky ones to date. And right now I'm sitting across from a comedian. They're tricky to date.
Look, they say in the theater, smile now, cry later. That was really something that a comedian wrote. Because the truth is, funny people can be funny in front of everybody, and then behind closed doors, they're just as sad as everybody else on occasion. There's no difference. So it doesn't mean that, you know, because I was really funny today, that I didn't go home and cry because of something else.
Maybe, you know, what I mean, I guess, I think what Jamie and I are talking about when we talk about humor is somebody that also laughs at your jokes, too.
Yeah.
And who, you know, the sort of the or somebody who can make the best out of a bad situation. Like if you get the worst table at the restaurant right by the kitchen or whatever, somebody who's still going to be like
happy to be sitting there with you and making a joke to make you feel better,
right,
and not worry.
Right.
They're going to make a joke that makes you feel better about sitting there, right, cuz they don't want you to worry. Somebody that's kind enough to care about your heart and not so much their own, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters. I'd rather right. somebody make me laugh all day than somebody that makes me
You should move you know. To Los Angeles. No, just kidding.
Don't. Yeah, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Brianne. And get some sleep. Good night.
And we really
appreciate it.
Yeah, and listen, understand there's a whole lot going on more than the age thing. You know what I'm saying? If with all these other nuances.
Yeah, age is nothing but a damn number now. They've been saying it for years, but now it's actually true. We age like fine wine, too.
Oh, you guys are sweet. It was nice talking to you. I hope you have a good afternoon.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. You too. Sleep well.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jamie, do you have any idea how fine my pussy is going to be at 93?
I can only imagine. Have you ever thought about Betty White?
That is some fine pussy.
That's some good vagina right there.
Yeah. That has been oaked. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much. Wait, I have to take a sip of water. Ugh. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening once again to Unqualified. And I want to thank my dear friend, Jamie Presley, my partner in crime. She's the best.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, the partner in crime part.
And she's also a truth teller.
Word.
Thank you for giving great advice. I really...
Thanks for having me, Lane. This was fun.
I hope you come back.
I would
You're
love to
really
come back
good at
anytime.
This. You're really, really good at
I'm
this.
I'm really good at unqualified advice.
And I also want to tell you that you have an incredibly tight vagina.
Thank you.
And I know...
I think you do, too.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, remember that one night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much fact. Okay, please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And tune in once again. We're still growing and learning, and we're unqualified.